The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem and they gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of their elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have by way of tradition, which they observe, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" And he responded, "Well, did Isaiah the prophet speak about you hypocrites? As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines things that are human precepts.' You disregard God's commandments, but you cling to human tradition." And he went on to say, "How well you have set aside the commandment of God in order to uphold your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever curses father or mother shall die. Yet you say, 'If someone says to father or mother, any support you might have had for me is now Corban,' which means dedicated to God, you allow them to do nothing more for the father or mother. You nullify the word of God in favor of your tradition that you have handed on, and you do many such things." The Gospel of the Lord. On this rainy morning, I'll try to just keep my words brief here. Paul Meakey and his companions are very, very interesting. They have a great teaching for us. I went to Nagasaki some years ago to do a retreat. I did a retreat at the Shrine of the Japanese Martyrs, this Paul Meakey and his companions. Christianity of Catholic Church came to Japan in 1540. Francis Xavier, who was a young Jesuit, he's Spanish, he brought the faith to Japan, to Nagasaki in 1540. The Jesuit was very, very young, but he carried the flag of the Portuguese king. Therefore, his mission was financed by the king of Portugal. And the missionaries that came with him were very, very successful. Within 25 years at Nagasaki, they already had 100,000 converts. So they were extremely prosperous and financed largely by trade between Portugal and the area of Nagasaki. In due time, this trading became somewhat political. Now it depends on which story you read. But the emperor at the time was fearful, blamed the Jesuits or blamed the missionaries for undermining Japanese culture and many other things that were blamed for, some true and some not so true. But they were banned. And so 25 years after they came to Nagasaki, they were banned by the emperor. It wasn't immediately effective. But by 1597, the local shogun executed these martyrs and obliterated Christianity from the area of Japan here, where it was growing. So 1597, 250 years later, almost 300 years later, missionaries will return to Japan. The political agenda had changed. And when they came back, They built this little church at a place called Ura, Our Lady of Ura. And after a while, the underground church that was there for about 300 years without any priests emerged, small numbers. But they came to the missionaries, and in order to authenticate the fact that the missionaries were really Catholic, there were two things they wanted to see. Well, three, actually. There were two, especially two. They wanted to see the image of the Blessed Mother, because all through the 300 years, the faith was sustained by devotion to the Blessed Mother. So they wanted to see the statues of the Lady, the Blessed Mother. The second thing, they wanted to affirm that, in fact, these missionaries were followers of the man wearing the white cassock, wearing the white robe, which is the Pope. And thirdly, but in a marginal way, they wanted to ask the missionaries if they were married. If they were married, they wouldn't follow them, but they were celibate. And so what's extraordinary about it, for almost 300 years, without any priests, the faith was sustained at Nagasaki. They baptized the children. They taught the doctrine of the church, the catechism. They baptized, they made first, they didn't have Eucharist, of course, but they buried their dead. They got together and read the scriptures, and especially they prayed to the Mother of God. It's an extraordinary statement about the fact that the church really didn't flourish now, but it stayed alive without having any priests for almost 300 years. And later the missionaries will come back and they'll build a cathedral there. And it's the Catholic place in Japan is Nagasaki. So it urges us to strengthen our faith through devotion to the Blessed Mother. I mean, we have this extraordinary tradition of reverence and devotion to Mary, the Mother of God, in the Catholic tradition, where you'll find it nowhere else. And it affirms for us the central place of Marian devotion in our Catholic tradition. And the people of Nagasaki were an extraordinary witness to that. The underground church there for almost 300 years was still alive when the missionaries came back. Nagasaki is also of small interest to me because it's the place where Puccini's Madame Butterfly, which is one of my favorite operas, where that's set. It's also the place where the great bomb dropped in 1945. And when it dropped in 1945, it was only 500 yards from the cathedral at Urakami there, which was destroyed but is now rebuilt. Rather interestingly, one day on my retreat, I went to the cathedral to pray, and I was sitting in the pews down there. It was empty. And while I was there, writing my journals and reading my book, in came these little children, maybe third, fourth, fifth grade, little people, and they're all excited. They're running around and they're laughing and they're talking to one another. And with them is a sister, a nun, draped in the long habit. And they all came in and they went into the pews, front pews. And then a priest came out and sat in the sanctuary. He was hearing confessions. So these little people would run up, sit down, and then run back, and they were laughing and they were cheerful. And I remember writing in my journal, what do we teach these children that I'm looking at here so that any time in the future they can come and destroy my children, the Holy Family? Or what do we teach our children, the Holy Family, that in any kind of a war we can go and destroy those children? I mean, what are we teaching one another about how to kind of live out the gospel in the fullness of humanity? I remember writing that and saying, my goodness, here's innocence and children. What do we shape these children to teach them about the fact that war is an answer to anything. It's worth a second thought, at least for me it was, and I wrote that in my journal. We pause now for a moment of prayer.